Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for spending some of your time with us on the Ideas Network. And to begin the show, we're talking with you about eagle, bald eagle watching days, and a couple of guests for you. Joining us is, and me in the studio, Jennifer Lanzendorf is the board member of, a board member of Fairy Bluff Eagle Council, and she serves as the chair of the Sauk Prairie Bald Eagle Watching Days Organizing Committee, and her hair's probably just about on fire from all of the work. Jennifer, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
With us as well, back for about the 30th time at least, is Jeb Barzin. Jeb's a wildlife biologist. He's worked at the International Crane Foundation for almost 30 years, president of the Fairy Bluff Eagle Council, and he directs their eagle research. And Jeb, good to see you again.
Oh, it is wonderful to see you. It's wonderful to talk to your audience. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm really great to have, glad to have both of you with us. And as you listen in to these two experts, I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments or maybe your experiences relating to eagles. What questions do you have about eagle watching days or about just eagles and how they live and what they do? You can give us a call at 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Jeb, how are eagles doing in the state?
Well, eagles are doing pretty darn well.
Yeah.
The last time that there was a census of the breeding population, we came up with 1,684 occupied territories. And we know there's at least one more than that, because since then, Milwaukee had its first eagle nest in probably 80 years.
Wow.
And so the population is doing really well. We might even be getting close to a carrying capacity, what biologists say, meaning that the inn is full for eagle nesting territories. We don't know, but it's a possibility.
Man, oh man. Yeah, I'm thinking we've got an eagle, we've got a nest in the Madison area near McFarland. And so it's fun to see. I see eagles a lot. It's, and so does everybody else. I think there's pretty much any county of the state you could go to.
Yep. Well, that's the Milwaukee nest was all 72 counties have a nesting pair of bald eagles. That made it a, what is it, a trifecta on a statewide basis? I don't know what the word for 72 is for 72 counties.
I don't know what our low point was, but probably back to the 60s, 50s?
Well, our low point that we measured was in 1973 when there was 108 nesting territories,
wow.
And now we have almost 1,700.
Wow, what a difference. Well, Jennifer, let me turn to you for a minute here. This year's Bald Eagle Watching Days will be held this Saturday and Sunday. Can you tell us about some of the highlights?
I can absolutely tell you about some of the highlights. We've got a great event planned this year, and if you're interested to hear about more about the nesting birds in the state, one of our presentations that we're offering on Saturday is Madison Audubon's going to be coming in, and they run a program where they monitor bald eagle nests across the state, and they're going to be giving a presentation on that. So if that's something that interests folks, we'd encourage you to come in and visit us on Saturday. We've also got some other great events. Schlitz Audubon out of Milwaukee is going to bring some of their birds in and do a live bird of prey show for us. David Stokes is a favorite that we bring back every year. He's got a really wonderful family program called Laughing with the Animals that he's going to have on our stage at the River Arts Center in Sauk Prairie. And as well as we do a rehabilitated eagle release every year, and we filmed that, and we've got Marge Gibson from the Raptor Education Group to come in and do a Q&A for that while we after we show that film. As well as we're going to have some tables and displays and other items in the River Arts Center and to bring folks out.
And, of course, the star is anybody's chance to see some eagles, and there are lots of them around Sauk Prairie.
We're having a good year, and there were 8 eagles on Eagle Island right out from the Prairie du Sac Overlook just this morning. And the last couple days I had a couple hundred first graders come through, and they saw lots of eagles. And one student had an eagle wink at them. So, you know, it's pretty good viewing right now.
Daniel in Ashford has a question for you, so let's go there. Hi, Daniel. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Lake Bernice in southern Fond du Lac County, and I have seen an eagle about once, maybe twice a year, and on one occasion it was a pair that had flown around, scouted, and hit the water for prey. But I was hoping that they may find a nesting location. They only perched for a short period of time. And is there anything you can do to attract and try to set up the conditions to draw in a nesting pair on a specific small lake like Lake Bernice?
And Daniel, where's that located again?
It's in southern Fond du Lac County.
Southern Fond du Lac. Okay, I didn't catch that.
You know, Daniel, I'm not sure if there's that much that you can do to attract nesting eagles. You know, like with ospreys, somewhat related species, you can put up a nesting platform, and they'll often use that. But that's not really the case so much with eagles. But certainly if you have a little bit of a undisturbed area that's near water, and of course in southern Fond du Lac County you've got a lot of lakes, and you've got the Fox River. That's flowing near there. So eagles should find a territory or find room if there is room available. But that's what I kind of mean by when we think that we might be getting close to the inn being full situation in Wisconsin, which means that if there is a potential for an eagle territory out there, the eagles have already occupied it. And so it might be that you have a nest nearby. If you saw those birds during the spring or summer and you see them repeatedly, but it might also be that there just isn't that much more room for yet more eagle territories.
There's at least one nest in Fond du Lac County.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how many, but there are more than one.
Yeah, there's great conditions in Fond du Lac County and it's a great park, a great, very large park on Lake Winnebago, right. Off, which would make it really attractive. So not much you can do.
Sounds like, Larry, you've been, you know, some of your fish that you may have caught and stunned have been eagle food in that area. That'd be right?
Well, that would be right. I have Daniel mentioned diving on the water, and I remember musky fishing. It wasn't over there, but it was in Vilas County, and watching an eagle swim to shore. It was quite a sight to see how that eagle, you know, you'd think, gosh, an eagle swimming. But they do.
They do. I wouldn't call them a very aquatic bird. They look pretty ungainly when they're swimming. They're kind of using their wings as a major. It's kind of like doing the butterfly.
Yeah.
And but they're really ungainly in watching that butterfly. But they get it done. And for a bird that usually catches fish and that sort of thing, they better know how to swim or else their lifespan is going to be reduced.
Definitely. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Jennifer, tell us about the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council before we take some more calls here. How the organization is involved in the event itself, but also a bit about the council.
Well, the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council is, I would be remiss if I didn't point out that we are one of the hosts of Sauk Prairie Bald Eagle Watching Days. The other hosts are the Trip Heritage Museum in Prairie du Sac and the Sauk Prairie Area Chamber of Commerce, as well as the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources Bureau of Natural Heritage Conservation. But the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council Jeb can speak more about that, the history. He's been with it. I've only been with it a few years, but they have a mission to educate and about bald eagles in the area and provide conservation opportunities as well as I'll let Jeb speak more about that.
Yeah. But you're the one that's in charge of the festival.
I'm one piece of that, yes.
There has to be a lot of volunteers and so forth.
We do. We would not be able to do it without the participation of many, many volunteers, as well as our local businesses. We are completely sponsored by the local community, so that's a very important piece. But yes, I'm the chair of the committee, so I pull together a number of volunteers, and we all play our part to make some pieces happen.
This is one of the great, I love this event. It's one of the great family events, I always thought, that you can participate in. And there's help. I mean, if you get there and you've never been there before, you might see an eagle flying over or something, but what's the best? I know there have been buses that will take people to proper viewing spots. Jeb, is that right?
Well, we haven't recovered completely from the COVID kind of system, and so we aren't doing bus tours yet, but there is a guidance in taking an auto tour that's on the web, so people have some guidance there. But if you stop in Sauk Prairie and Prairie du Sac, we have the Overlook, and so there's volunteers at the Overlook.
Perfect.
And be able to help people see eagles really well, explain their ecology, pretty much engage with people in doing that. And there are signs that direct people to the River Arts Center, which is where most of the indoor programs are going.
Yeah.
And just to emphasize something that Jenny said, two things. One is probably the most important word with Bald Eagle Watching Days is free.
Yes.
So all the events are free, and they're really quite fun. And as part of the community engagement, I think that's really an important part of Bald Eagle Watching Days. The Sauk Prairie Chamber of Commerce is one of our co-sponsors. Bald Eagle Watching Days costs about $8,000 a year to put on. That whole bill, the reason why we provide it for free of charge, that whole bill is paid for by Sauk Prairie businesses. So that businesses that are engaged and they believe in eagle conservation, they believe in bringing people to the community to see a special part of this community. It's a real collaborative effort, not just with volunteers, but with all of the businesses in the community. And it's really, I think it's kind of proud. And Jenny says she hasn't been with Fairy Bluff Eagle Council for very long. Not very long is 10 years. So I think it's a long time, and it's just great to have people engage.
Absolutely. Well, every one of our phone lines is filled, and we've got some email, so let's go to the phones. Bob in Edgerton, we'll go to you first. Thanks for calling. What can we do for you?
Hi, great show. Thanks for taking my call. I live on a little lake north of Edgerton. I've been there about 15 years, and we enjoy seeing mature and immature eagles. But when we moved there, we saw ospreys. And ever since the eagles kind of showed up, we don't see the ospreys, or very rarely. And I don't know where these eagles nest. Maybe they're down on Koshkonong or somewhere. But do eagles and ospreys get along? And how far does an eagle range from its nest?
Okay, one thing at a time. So ospreys and eagles do compete with each other. Eagles will often steal food from ospreys. I'm not aware, but that just might be my ignorance, of eagles actually harming ospreys or that sort of thing, but it could possibly happen. But there isn't much data to show if there's a real competitive exclusion that occurs between eagles and ospreys. Osprey numbers have not recovered as much or as rapidly as have eagle numbers, and so there's something about the environment that we're offering here that ospreys are not quite as able to take advantage of as our eagles, or eagles are more adaptive to it. So there's kind of a couple things that are going on in that. So it might be possible, but I'm not aware of any things that specifically point to that. rats. I forgot your second question.
Bob, your second question again?
How far do they range?
Oh, the range. Sorry, I should have written that down. So
I should have written that down, too. Jenny, did you write that down?
None of us did.
the range is a difficult thing to predict because it depends upon the quality of the habitat. So, for example, if you go into the Mississippi River, you can find almost 70 bald eagle nests in the Mississippi River corridor from La Crosse down to Lansing, Iowa.
Wow.
70.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of nests. And so the territory there is really quite small. But if you look in the Sauk Prairie area, an area that I know quite well, the territory can be relatively large because it's okay habitat, but it's not great habitat,
yeah,
like the Mississippi River. And so I don't know kind of how good the habitat quality is for the Koshkonong area or, you know, where you are just north of Edgerton. But, you know, it's a hard thing to kind of predict because it's a very conditional sort of response by the birds.
Bob, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Visiting today about eagles and eagle watching days at Sauk Prairie, Jeb Barzin, president of the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council, and Jennifer Lanzendorf, who a board member for the Eagle Council, and she serves as chair of the Sauk Prairie Bald Eagle Watching Days. Questions, give a call at 800-642-1234. Email to ideas at WPR.org. Clara Neipertz, our producer today. Trina LaSousa, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Great to have you along today as we talk eagles and eagle watching days with our two guests, Jeb Barzin and Jennifer Lanzendorf. Again, you can join in. Number's 800-642-1234. Email to ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Nate in McFarland next. Nate, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. Thanks for the opportunity to ask a question here. My family's very fortunate enough to have a small place up in Vilas County on Lac Vu d'Isere. And when we bring guests up, they're always amazed to see the eagles, and we tell them, or at least I like to tell them, that I see eagles up there like I see seagulls down here. So my question is this. Occasionally, we're very fortunate to have one roost right on the lake edge, and inevitably, at some point during the year, there's usually a feather or two. And we've been told or heard that we're not even allowed to pick up those feathers or do anything other than observe them where they're at. And so I just want to know if that's true or if it is possible to pick one up and, you know, stick it on the side, protected from the weather so we can look at it and talk about how cool it is, or do we in fact have to just kind of let it deteriorate?
Well, unfortunately, the way the law is you do have to leave it lay and let it deteriorate, as you're saying. And it's not immediately apparent, but the reason why both the Migratory Bird Act and the Bald Eagle Protection Act exist is to keep, to prevent illegal trade of parts of eagles or parts of migratory birds. And eagles fit under both categories. They're migratory, and of course they are the purpose of the Bald Eagle Protection Act. And so the possession of those feathers, there's no way that a conservation officer could distinguish an illegally taken feather from a legitimately found feather, essentially. And so they basically say you just can't have them. And that's the reason for that is it's the only way to really kind of enforce the laws that are designed to protect these migratory birds.
And in terms of the Protection Act, are there any other major points to it, or is that's the major part of the act?
Well, the Bald Eagle Protection Act, it's illegal to harass birds, to disturb nesting eagles or that sort of thing. So those are other components of that law, which the Migratory Bird Act does speak to, but not quite in the same way that the Bald Eagle Protection Act speaks.
And those nests are something else. We have, unfortunately, one in northern, on the Schwamigan National Forest, where I hunt deer, as a matter of fact, there was a nest, and then we had a sort of a huge windstorm, and blew that thing over, it looked like it weighed a ton. I mean, it took the tree down, and it was enormous, and I felt really bad about it. Well, those nests are built over years, aren't they?
Yeah, eagles will add to them year after year after year. Typically, they're adding to their nests in the fall rather than at nesting time, which is very, very early in the spring. But they can sometimes they can kind of stay pretty compact but get very dense, and so they are heavy. I don't know if you meant a ton literally, but yeah. There are eagle nests that weigh more than a ton.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll walk up a tree. And so there's, you know, it would be kind of fun with your audience is to have a competition of the most interesting eagle nest that they have pictures of, you know, from a distance, of course, but, you know, to display the wide variety of eagle nests that exist out there, because there are just a huge number of different nests. But I know of some nests that are 30 feet high, not because they're densely built up, but they kind of walked up the tree, and there's a nest by Cashton that's absolutely spectacular that you can see from the road that does that. But there's lots of other nests that are equally characteristic or interesting to look at.
Yeah. Nate, thanks. Appreciate the call. Mark in Green Bay, it's your turn.
Hey, Larry, great show. I just want to relate two quick stories. Yesterday in Kewaunee County, I saw an eagle carrying a 5-foot-long stick. It's not near any lake. It's near a little creek where it seemed to be building it, and it's 7 miles from the Kewaunee River. And the second story is, you're talking about swimming eagles. Back in the 90s, I was muskie fishing on Vilas County Lake, and we saw eagles swimming in the lake. So we thought it was injured, so we went over there to look at it, and it took off and flew into the tree. And here it was trying to pick up a 6-pound walleye that was dead on top of the water. That's all I got, buddy.
Mark, thanks a lot for calling. And you know what, Mark? Probably after you left, that eagle went right back and picked up that walleye that was dead in the water. I would bet.
Well, there's two fascinating things I find with that. And the first is that an eagle who is in the water can actually take flight from the water. That's absolutely mind-boggling how hard that must be, and yet they can do that. And so, you know, you're spot on with that. And also the swimming, if it's really a 6-pound bass, you know, that's too heavy for an eagle to carry. So if you overweight an airplane, they don't get off the ground, sort of thing. And so, but eagles will capture that, and then they'll swim to shore with it in their talons, and then they can eat it once they're on shore. And so that's actually, I wouldn't say it's common behavior, but it's normal behavior of a bird.
And in fact, I should have mentioned that when I was telling my story, because that's what happened. The eagle had a fish. I don't know. Well, you know, we didn't get close. We didn't want to get too close to it, but it had a fish that it had brought with it up to the shore and stood there and ate it.
Yep. Now, and that's on a territory. Now, when you're in Sauk Prairie, if you see an eagle with a 6-pound bass, it's going to swim to shore, but it's not going to have a very easy time to eat it, because there will be other eagles who are going to try and take it from them. And so in the winter area where eagles are kind of mixed up and they're not segregated into different territories, there'll be a lot more competition for food that you see. And some of the food that eagles are eating, if you come up to Sauk Prairie, they'll swoop down, they'll grab a fish, and they'll actually bring it up and eat it while they're on the wing before they get back to their perch. And that's much better food for these eagles, even though they're kind of parts of gizzard shad and things like that. That's better food, because the food that's in your stomach is the only food that you can guarantee is yours in the eagle world, especially during the winter.
Oh, and it's something you might be able to see if you visit this weekend. And what are the times, by the way, Jennifer, for eagle watching days? It's kind of pretty broad range of time there, I think.
Yeah, so all of the events that we're having at the River Arts Center are going to be on Saturday. That's Saturday the 14th. And those begin at 10 a.m. And we'll open the doors at 9:30. So if people want to come in and check out some of our displays and things. And those go throughout the day. And our last presentation starts at 3 o'clock and will end around 4:30 or so. So it'll be throughout the day. We've got different presentations, and of course we'll have the Overlook staffed on both Saturday and Sunday. So come out to the Overlook on Water Street in Sauk Prairie. It's beautifully renovated, and we'll have volunteers there, as Jeb mentioned, to help people. And we'll have volunteers will be there from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday and till at least noon on Sunday.
Yeah.
And what kind of birds does Schlitz Audubon bring that people will be able to see?
They bring a whole host of different birds of prey. They've got red-tailed hawks. They've got, I believe, they've got peregrine falcons. They've got a number of different hawks. They have a bald eagle they'll bring, and they'll have those out and showing for the audience. And it's a really quite. Quite a great show that they put on, and they'll answer questions from the audience as well.
It's a really good opportunity to see these birds up close. And I mean, when you're seeing them from a few feet away, it's a wonderful experience, kind of humbling in some ways, for me at least, when I look at them. So there's lots going on, and there's also lots of calls. So let's go to Mark and Sister Bay next. Hey, Mark.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you, what's the odds of getting buzzed by a mother bald eagle? We got a little too close to her nest with my black Labrador dog and I when we went for a walk on our 3.5 acres in Ellison Bay about 10 years ago, and I was quite surprised to see mama bald eagle coming right at us and got within about 10, 15 feet right above our head, and then she went into a hard turn and went back to the nest, and there was a young fledgling in the nest. And I was wondering if maybe she was just teaching her fledgling, this is how we hunt for things. You know, it's two ideas of what was going on, or maybe she didn't like the fact that we were there.
Well, that's a possibility, Mark, a very definite possibility. Jeb, what do you think?
Well, she certainly communicated that to you quite effectively, didn't she?
Oh, man. Yeah, for sure. Mark, thanks for that story. I appreciate it very much. Joel in Plainfield, your turn. Hi, Joel.
Hi, Larry. Yeah, I was wondering, I've seen quite a few golden eagles in the central Wisconsin area. And I was just wondering, is anybody counting those, or just a general count on eagles in general, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are some golden eagle surveys that are being done. They're concentrated more on the Mississippi River, a little bit on the Wisconsin River, but mostly on the Mississippi. And those are daytime surveys because distinguishing golden eagles from immature bald eagles when it is getting towards the evening is much more difficult. And so that's not a good technique to use for if you're really focused on golden eagles. But immature bald eagles superficially look like golden eagles, and they're fairly easy to distinguish if you are used to identifying golden eagles. But those surveys are pretty much during the day. So the monitoring work, aerial surveys are a little bit difficult to find golden eagles, and the work that we do when we monitor eagles is watching them as they fly into their nighttime roosts. And mm-hmm. so we occasionally capture or see a golden eagle flying into roosts, but I'm sure that we miss quite a few as well.
And isn't it true that, I'm trying to remember now, the timing on the white cap, the feathers on an eagle, isn't that a few years before the eagle matures and has those white feathers?
Well, you know, I think it's kind of an interesting story. It used to be that when eagle numbers were quite a bit lower, we would say that 5 years and a bird is an adult, and that's still often the case. So biologically, a bird can get a white head, white tail by the time it is 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But what I find kind of interesting, and Marge Gibson, who's going to be, will give a video of a release that she recently did, but Marge Gibson at the Raptor the Raptor Education Clinic, she has said that as you know, more and more she's seeing that bald eagles are older before they get their white head and white tail. And that might be another function of an indicator of the inn being full, is that if your density builds up, you get a more delayed maturity that's occurring. So it's possible that you might not have a you might have an eagle that doesn't have a white head or a white tail until it is 6 or even maybe 7 years old. It's not as hardwired as a situation as is as what we always used to think.
Very interesting.
We're seeing a bald eagle population that humans, or let me put it this way, as European settlers have never seen in terms of the population. And so we're finding them doing all sorts of new things. We're finding them, the Vilas County caller, you know, he was in the area where eagles survived, that they persisted through the DDT period. But if you look at what the ideal habitat is for that came out of the 70s, it said nothing about oak forests in open prairie and that sort of thing, and yet that's eagles nest there, and they're actually in higher density on the Mississippi River than they are in the northern lake region of Wisconsin. And so we're learning all sorts of new things about these long-lived birds because they're at a density that we've never seen before.
That's really, really interesting. And you mentioned Marge Gibson. Clara Neipert, my producer, write Marge's name down because I haven't had her on the show in a long, long time, and it's, it would be good to get her back and talk again as well. Let's see. John in Sturgeon Bay, chance for you to join in.
Hi, good morning. Just a question observation. Obviously, we talk about all the eagles around the rivers and the water and eating fish, and this majestic bird swooping down and grabbing a fish is so cool. But up north, you know, by our cabin in the Shawamigan, we see so many eagles on the sides of the roads eating roadkill deer, especially come April when the ditches melt down and all the deer that were hit over the winter are exposed. And obviously, it's a dangerous time for eagles. But a question I have is how come we just don't see other birds of prey or raptors doing the same thing? I've never seen a hawk or an osprey or even owls or anything, you know, taking advantage of that free meal like eagles do. Is there any thought on that?
Well, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing. Actually, hawks will feed on carrion. They just don't do it quite as much. When we've been trying to capture eagles, our bait is roadkill deer. And I've seen rough-legged hawks and red-tailed hawks utilize those carcasses, but they just don't do it quite as much as eagles. And my guess as to why that is occurring is that these hawks are better hunters, and they're hunting at food that is more either abundant or predictable. Mm-hmm. And so it's only rarely that they need to revert to carrion. And it might be when they can't find food in other ways. Bald eagles are more adapted to carrion feeding, and they will utilize carrion for a much greater period of time. Not so much during the nesting season, but certainly during this wintering period, they'll use carrion quite a bit. But why that actually exists, why they're a specialist for carrion versus other raptors, I can't give you a very good answer for that. But one thing that I would point out, too, though, is for all of you who are out there driving, if you see an eagle on a roadside, try and slow your car down, because eagles' response time is pretty good, but their capability of being able to take flight and get to an elevation where they're safely above your car is not so good. And so if you go buzzing by a roadkill deer with an eagle on it that's on the shoulder, it might take flight and in such a way that you would hit it with your car. And a roadkill or car accidents with eagles is actually a fairly common occurrence. And so if you slow down a little bit, you just give that eagle a little bit of chance to gain enough elevation that it's not going to be in the your line of movement from with a car.
Talking about birds or other wildlife feeding on a carcass, we saw an eagle. We lived on Lake Monona, and an eagle came down in the winter, and there was a little open water in front of the Monona Terrace, and the eagle came down and took a goose, Canada goose, and sat there and ate on it for quite a while. Then it left, and then in the meantime, a fox had come all the way across the lake to see what it could eat, and so it ate on that goose, and then the fox left, and then some crows came in. There couldn't have been anything left of that eagle. Not a thing.
Of the goose, I would imagine.
Not the eagle, the goose, sorry. It was just by luck they happened to be looking out when that happened.
You know, and at the overlook of Prairie du Sac, right now you can see 150 geese and see 9 eagles sitting on Eagle Island. They're all very close to each other. And a lot of people say, I don't understand that they are getting along. And it's I wouldn't call it a getting along. I think detente is a better description of that, because they're all kind of aware of each other. And if anybody shows any sign of weakness, then all hell might break loose. But in general, yes, they are not going after each other all the time. But, you know, eagles are smart. They can get hurt when they're going after prey. And so they like to take prey that's easy to get rather than hard to get healthy animals.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Jennifer, you got to remind us now about the dates and times. I want to get that in once more before we wind up here. So here we are. Sauk Prairie Bald Eagle Watching Days.
Absolutely. It's going to be this weekend, Saturday, January 14th. That's when all our programs are. And then also Sunday the 15th, and we'll have volunteers both of those days out on the overlook. So come see the eagles. For more information, I'll direct people to the Fairy Bluff Eagle Council website, which is fairybluffeaglecouncil.org.
The great way to
full schedule there, and
yeah, that's a good way to do it. So fairybluffeaglecouncil.org, that's right.
That is correct, and that's spelled FERRY, fairybluffeaglecouncil.org, and it'll have our full schedule of events and the times for all those programs, and that's where you can go to download our self-guided eagle tour if you want to go and explore on your own. That's a great way to do it.
Or even become a member, right?
Or even become a member or donate to our event. As Jeb pointed out, this event is completely sponsored by our local business and donations from our members.
Yeah, you know, if it's me, I'd get out there early. I'd get out there early, say 8 o'clock. I'd do a little eagle watching, and then along about 10 o'clock, I'd rouse the family over to the events. By that time, maybe they're cold. And well,
that's a great way to do it. And when you get cold, stop in one of our local businesses and for some lunch.
Oh yeah, I've done that many a time.
The Kiwanis are having a pancake breakfast, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Grab a pancake breakfast.
At the River Art Center as well.
Oh, you know, and Trina LaSousa says to me, Larry, you dummy, don't forget to mention that Wisconsin Public Radio is a sponsor of this event.
They are, and an appreciated sponsor, even if we're forgetful about that.
Well, I should be the one to be bringing that up. My goodness. Jennifer, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll look forward to another visit, I'm sure, down the road. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Jeb Barzin's president of the Fairy Bluff Eagle Council. He directs their eagle research. Jennifer Lanzendorf, as I said, her hair's probably been on fire here planning and working to get this ready, and it's this weekend. So prepare for that. Go to their website, take a look, and you'll see when the various talks and presentations. You'll get to see some live eagles and other raptors. And you will have a very good time. And you'll also have a good time if you get out in the night sky at this time of the year. We'll be talking about that, what's going on in the sky, and we'll talk a little bit about maybe taking some photos of the night sky as well. That's next. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network.